God wants to use us, all of us called to ministry, and tonight we're about calling the faithful. Calling the faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. Notice that the gospel was committed to Paul's trust. That's an amazing thing right there. The gospel was committed to Paul's trust. Jess, can you open some back windows back there? We didn't open any windows. It's going to be stuffy in here. That's amazing. God said, I'm committed. And you know the gospel has been committed to your trust? That's an amazing thing. What if you don't keep it and do it and do what you're supposed to do? That will be a terrible thing for the gospel's sake. The gospel isn't committed to our trust. And verse 12, I think Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that, and that means for that he counted me faithful, put in me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We're going to have a word of prayer and we'll talk about calling the faithful. Let's pray. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your church, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for letting me be the one that you called to deliver this message, Father. What an honor. What a privilege, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for the callings of God, Father. Thank you tonight that I am saved. Thank you tonight that, Lord, you've called me to the ministry, to behind the pulpit ministry, Lord. It's a privilege. Yet all of us are called to the ministry, Father, and this is a lesson for every Christian, not simply just the ones who are going to be in the full-time ministry, Lord. And I pray you help all of us, Lord, to understand the importance of ministry and the importance of faithfulness in the ministry, Lord. And we just ask you to do a mighty work and speak to us, Lord, in a very powerful way. Give me the words, controlling my mind and my heart, my body, my tongue, everything. I commit it to you, Lord, and ask you to do great, mighty things. And may you be the I am tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see in this passage, Paul says a couple things. He says the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, a death, burial, and resurrection, and eternity in heaven, was committed to my trust. God walked up and said, here it is. It's in your trust. You are the one who's going to take it to the world. Now, that's every Christian. The gospel is committed to your trust, too. And you're supposed to take the gospel, and it's committed to you. And the Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them those that are lost. And if you don't take what God trusted you, it'll stop with you. I want to give you a few points about calling the faithful and the importance of faithfulness in the ministry. Number one, the Lord puts people into the ministry because they are faithful. The Lord puts people into the ministry because they are faithful. I think one of the things about the ministry that's terribly, terribly misunderstood is that people choose to get the ministry. And people, it's like a career. The ministry, when I say the ministry, I'm talking anywhere from just somebody going and doing any kind of work for God, but especially all the way up to someone in full-time ministry, a pastor, evangelist, missionary. Those people understand that the ones who are in God's will, in God's churches, where God's in control, those churches, God puts them in a ministry. It's not because someone had so much ambition or they wanted to do that, or it's a career choice. A ministry is not a career choice. God calls you and you obey God, or God calls you and you live a miserable life because you don't follow that calling. But it says, interesting there enough, it doesn't say, I put myself in the ministry. It says, God put me into the ministry. God did it. And God put you in the ministry. And God says, why did he put him in the ministry? Verse 12, I think, Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Part of one of the things that is a great thing is you serve God. If God leads you and he says, I want you to go to the nursing home, or says, I want you to go to a jail ministry, or I want you to go and work on the bus route. When he calls you to a ministry, understand, whom God calls, God equips. And I never have to worry about, oh man, can I preach? I already know I'm not worthy. I already know that I don't deserve to do God's work. I'm a lost sinner who deserves nothing but hell. But the great thing is I know that God, who puts me in the ministry, also enables me, as any good boss would say, I'm going to teach you how to do your job. And God never puts you in a position that you cannot do what he calls you to do, but he will put you in a position where you can not do it without him. And it says, he hath enabled me, putting me in the ministry. Now, that was a man who had the best education in the entire world at the time. He was educated as a Jew under the Pharisees, which were the most brilliant and studious people in the world. And underneath the number one teacher in the entire world, Gamaliel, the chief Pharisee teacher, he said, I had the exact upbringing and training in the Bible and the law. I was blameless, but he didn't say, you know what, and I went to ministry because I was so great. It says, he enabled me, putting me in the ministry. And the reason he did that is because Paul was counted faithful. It's in the Bible, you'll find out that Paul went in the ministry. However, Paul was already in the ministry before he got put in the full-time ministry. Full-time ministry being a pastor, being a full-time job. Before he went there as a missionary pastor, Paul was already being faithful in the ministry. And let me take you back to the book of Acts and show you this. And Acts chapter 13 is Paul's, where Paul is actually put into the ministry by God. Acts chapter 13. And verse 1, now there was the church that it was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And Saul is Paul. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. There's Paul going into full-time ministry. However, this wasn't the start of Paul being faithful in the ministry. That's when God sent him into full-time ministry. But if you go back to Acts chapter 9, and you'll see Acts chapter 9 is where he gets saved. And God sends him to a town, to a man named Ananias, and Ananias prays for Saul, and Saul receives his sight and there and gets filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 18, it says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. And arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Notice, real carefully here. He just got saved. He was blinded. The scales fall off his eyes. He eats again because he had been fasting. And then he sits for a few days with some disciples, learns a little bit about Jesus Christ. And watch the next verse. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he's the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them or called in his name at Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Notice this. This is a while. This is going to be over a year before he is put in the ministry. But he just started preaching the gospel and going soul winning right away. Notice that he was faithful to the ministry and doing God's work before God made him a missionary as a pastor. And that's very important because that's the way God works. And if you look at Acts chapter 11, we see Paul. He becomes involved in the church at Antioch and going back and forth from Jerusalem to Antioch and is involved, and God begins to use him. Yet this Acts 13, ahead of this, is where he's actually put into the ministry. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, as Saul, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples across called Christians first at Antioch. So here's Paul doing the work of the ministry, still not the missionary and the pastor, but doing God's work. Verse 30, which things they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. His job here was to take some letters and take some notes from one church to the other, and he carried those notes with Barnabas and took the notes to Antioch and to Jerusalem, and then he stayed at Antioch for a year and was involved in his local church. And then chapter 12, we see this, and as you look at chapter 12, and you see verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, which are called Niger and Lucius. Now notice this, we already read this. This is where he got called to ministry. Yet here he was for a year working there in the church. So he was, from the day he got saved, faithful to God. And one day God says, church, I want him and him to go into the ministry. Because he was faithful, Paul said. I got put in the ministry because God counted me faithful. God put him in the ministry. And so that's how it happens. Because of this, many are called, but not many are put into the ministry. I went to a very big Bible college and over 2,000 students and tons. I mean, it was a ministry college, and everybody went there. 90% of them felt called to the ministry. And so many of them that went there, they were called to ministry, and I believe that. However, they never got in the ministry. Why? Because they were not faithful. They went there and said, I'll get the education. By the way, many of them graduated. Man, I will talk to people this week that went to Bible college with, who graduated from Bible college, who will be laymen the rest of their lives, who felt called to ministry. I know tons of them. I know two churches that between those two churches, they have about 60 couples like that. They were called to ministry, went and graduated from Bible college, and are just laymen in the churches. Why? Because God won't put them in the ministry, because they're not faithful. And they say, where's my opportunity? And God says, right in front of you. Go witness that kid right there. Go out and be faithful, involved in the church. Go learn to pray with the church. Go learn to do God's work. If you're not faithful, I'm not putting you in the ministry. You might put yourself in the ministry, but I'm not going to put you in the ministry. Because Paul said, I got put in the ministry. God says, you know what? You are doing such a great work for me. I got to just let you do this full time. That's how you get in the ministry. And that's the full-time ministry. God put you in the ministry. And by the way, God will give you a ministry as a layman, and God will give you a ministry in the church when you're faithful. Understand this, because of this biblical principle. I won't give you a job in the church if you're not faithful. It's the first principle. Somebody comes to me, I'm going to do something in the church. What can I do? Well, you need to come to church every Sunday. If I give you this job and you're not here, the job doesn't get done. And guess what? I don't have time to scramble around on Sunday morning because you didn't come to your job. I have to be able to count on you. And that's the first thing Paul said. The Lord puts people in the ministry because they are faithful. Number two, we are to commit time, truth, and ministry to faithful people. Back to 2 Timothy. We're in 1 Timothy before. 2 Timothy. So somebody says, I want a bus route, Pastor. I want people to take a bus route. We have kind of two routes, and I run one. I've been doing a bus route for 20 years now, more than that. And I do a bus route and pick people up, and Travis does the other van route. And you know what? I want to have a route where I pick people up, Pastor. Awesome. That's great. And God wants you to do that. And God wants you to do great work for him and help reach people. How do I do that? Well, you're faithful. Start off with just doing what God has given you in front of you. Go to church every Sunday. Go witnessing when you're supposed to go witnessing. Pray. Be faithful. Whatever ministry God gives you right now, be faithful with what God gives you. God will give you more. But he gives you ministry as you are faithful with what he's given you. And if you won't do that, which is, then we can't commit things to your trust. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. This is a very important passage in the Bible, because Paul said, Timothy, I took a very important thing here, and let's say this here is the ministry. This is truth. This is a precious investment from God of how to serve people, how to serve God, how to do great things for God, how to influence life. And by the way, what in the world is more precious than influencing a life? Give me the person. If you use a passive arm, you can earn $20 billion in your life, or you can influence one person's life for eternity. Which one do you want? That's not a hard choice. When I see that person in 20 billion years and they're in heaven, not hell, I'll always be rejoicing. I'll get the streets of gold in heaven. And what's more precious than influencing a life? And Paul says, I got something very precious from God. I got the ministry and how to help people, and I committed to you, Timothy. And that which I've committed to you, you commit and say, I'm giving this to you, it's very precious, to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also? Because if you do not give it to faithful men, what you give to them, they will lose, they will not keep, and it'll drift away, and you will lose your influence in the next generation. I want to have an influence, if the Lord tarries, on several generations. And if that's four generations right there of converts. And you know what? I want to take what was given to me and be faithful with it and not fall away and not be unfaithful. And I want to take and add on to it and become get the great truth of God and hand it to somebody else so that next person can take it and be faithful with it. But you know what? I am not going to invest and commit thou to unfaithful men. I've done it before. Listen, I've committed to people with potential before, many times. I thought, man, that person right there can do incredible things. Man, they have so much charisma. They have so much ability. Man, I'm gonna commit it to them. And I went and handed it to them. I gave them the investment of my time and the investment of my love and the investment of my wisdom and the investment of the truth that God's given me. I said, let me spend time and disciple you and train you. You can do such great things for God. However, they weren't faithful. And they took all that investment and said, you know what? I got something else to do. You know, let me find someone who will just give this to the next person. It doesn't say commit thou to talented men. It doesn't say commit thou. Pastor Much and I are talking about this. And we were talking about a man who's no longer in the ministry. Way more talented than me or Brother Much. Brother Much is a lot more talented than I am. This guy's very gifted. This guy was making six figures before 9 a.m. while he was a pastor. That's how gifted this guy was. Talented and gifted. Except for, he wasn't very faithful. Turned out he wasn't faithful to his family, to his wife, to his ministry, to anything. But he sure was gifted. Doesn't mean a thing. I'll do more this month for God than he'll do the rest of his life. But he's a lot more talented than I am, I'm telling you that. Amazing guy, incredibly gifted. Brother Mutcher said, you know, it's so sad because he was so proud. You couldn't teach the guy anything, and you couldn't warn him about anything. And you know what? Those who aren't faithful, you don't commit to. How do you know, Pastor Byron, if you commit to people? And how do you know who to invest your time in? And who do you disciple? Well, I start off, are they faithful? Very simple thing. First off, are they faithful to church? I will love and spend time and pray for anybody, but I will personally take a side and train somebody who is there every Sunday. Because they're not there every Sunday, I know that they're not going to be there for long. They're going to fall away. And I know that... If they aren't faithful to church, I know if they're not faithful to their Bible reading, the only characteristic I'm looking for, I'm not looking whether they're called to ministry, doesn't matter. I'm not looking for talented. I'm looking for one thing. The Bible says, commit thou to faithful men. Please spend your time in life, if you're going to invest in people who are faithful. And if they will not be faithful, then do not commit your time and effort. Love them. Spend casual time with them. But commit thou to faithful men. It's like a man who has a great trade and he's very, very skilled and he wants to train somebody to do that great skill that not many people can do. And he says, I want you to commit to me at least a certain number of years and I need you to be committed to learn this. Why? Because he might spend 3 months training him how to do this job and he might lose interest and he wasted 3 months. Commitment. Faithfulness. We are to commit time, truth, and ministry to faithful people. Number three, it is faithfulness is required of those things the Lord will trust us with. Faithfulness is required of those for the Lord to trust us with the great riches of eternity. Faithfulness is required of the Lord for those things that God will that are great truth and great importance for God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. God says, before I give you great, great, important things and entrust to you these things, as Paul said, God has entrusted to me the gospel. Before God commits great, great things to you and really gives you great things, he wants faithfulness. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, verse 1, let us so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward was a person, and we don't have stewards nowadays exactly in the same title. We'd call them a supervisor and a butler and a financial advisor and a bunch of things. But a steward is a person who, in ancient times, who was over your household, your finances, and he would take care of things. And you would say, you know what, make sure that the ship comes in and you send these things in the ship and make sure that the servants get fed this month and order the food. And the steward took care of the house of the Lord. And the Lord didn't worry about every little thing. He had a steward. It says, required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Where'd my steward go? Oh, you know what? He's on another drinking binge. Oh, no, my ship didn't go out. My things didn't order. Food didn't get ordered. The Bible says faith in an unfaithful man is like putting your hand on a stick and having a sliver run through your hand. It's painful and terrible. And if you ever relied on someone who's unfaithful and you were counting them to get something done, you know what I'm talking about. It ruins everything for you. Because you put the weight of that would be done, and you did all the other things. You get there, and it's not done. And they say, oh, it's no big deal, because they're not faithful. God says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And what is the steward of? It says, verse 1, let us man so count of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. I don't got time to teach about the mysteries of God, but it's the whole truth of the Bible and being saints and Christ in you, the hope of glory, and several other things in the Bible. But God says, I'm committing to you the truth of Jesus Christ and the things of God, but it's required if I'm going to make you a steward of my things, my truth, the important truths of the Bible, it's required that you're faithful. And God has to, he can only commit those things to those he can trust with the great riches of eternity. Next, the Lord begins entrusting us with small things to see if we will be faithful. Let me turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, the Lord begins entrusting us with small things to see if we will be faithful. Luke 16, verse 9. It says, I say unto you, make yourselves friend of the mammon of unrighteousness, that's money, that when ye fail, when ye die, they, your money, may receive you into everlasting habitations. He, that means that you use your money wisely, and when you die, you meet your money in heaven. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is made faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. Notice that you're faithful in the least, you're made faithful in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or else will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That passage right there very simply says this. God tests you with little things and to see if I can give you big things. And the thing he tests you that God calls little, that we don't call little, is called money. That's why you can't be in the ministry of full-time ministry if you cannot handle money. It's God tests you with money. And then he said, in the context of this, in other passages, he talks about the power of the Holy Spirit and great power and influence, because I test you with money and you can't control money and you're not faithful with your money and you're not doing the things you should do. I found out that you're not under control, that you're a person who cannot take care of your money. You're wasteful and steal the people's money by not paying them back after you borrow it, and you are out of control, and that's just the power of money. Money's very powerful. Let me test you with that power. And God says, you're not faithful with that. You know what? I can't really give you great power because you've been tested with money and you failed, so I cannot entrust you true riches. If you cannot handle that which is least, God always says, let me try with a little bit. Listen, if I'm going to teach someone to drive, I'm going to take them in a parking lot. I'm not going to pull over on the side of I-5 and say, all right, here we go. It's 5 o'clock rush, South Center Hill, here we go. That's not where I'm going to find out if they can even steer first. And I'm not going to go, and if all of a sudden I go, okay, let's drive, and they say, man, I watched Dukes of Hazzard, watch this. You think I'm going to buy him a nice car and let him drive that? I tested him with a junky car. And we went, yee-haw! And I found out, this is not good. Am I going to let them drive an ICE car if I had one? No, because I chested them with a junker. And they didn't take care of that. And foolish parents nowadays, they give their kids something, the kids don't take care of it. And they say, oh, let me buy you another one. Not me. I gave you one. You didn't take care of it. You're not faithful in that which is least, God says. I will not give you much. And I tested you with money, God says. And I test you with little things in your life. When I was in Bible college, a man that impacted me greatly. And he was what we call a division leader over 9 bus routes, and I was in one of those bus routes. It was Robert York, and we had 9 bus routes, and there was a bus captain over every route, and then workers on each route. And Brother Robert got very mad one night because the workers weren't showing up on Sunday. And he got up there and he preached on faithfulness. And one of the things that he said, listen, I don't care if you prayed so hard this week that you got the Shekinah glory flowing off your face. If you don't show up on Sunday morning and you're supposed to preach, we'd preach in the wind because it's a 35-minute drive. And you got the Shekinah glory. You're not there on Sunday morning. It don't matter how much power of God you have if you're not faithful. And boy, I thought, that doesn't sound right. I mean, you need the power of God. But I thought, he's right. If you're not there, it doesn't do any good. Listen, I could have prayed for 45 hours this week for this sermon, and what if I said, you know what, tonight I want to go golfing, and don't show up. How much I prayed didn't matter one bit. Doesn't matter. Because I wasn't there. Fascinating thing, I was in that division for 6.5 years, and I watched the guys. Guys who were in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, training for the ministry and going there on the weekends. I watched those guys, lots of guys, 9 different bus routes. I drove the workers' bus, so all the workers rode with me. Interesting thing, Robert York's still in the ministry, successful pastor out in Ohio. The guy I worked with, who is my next division leader, was very faithful. Justin Soto talked to today. He's preaching our church. He's still a pastor. Matt Crouch worked very closely, very, very, very faithful in the ministry. He's a pastor now. You know what? Kevin Arthur was my roommate. He was very faithful to his bus route. He's a missionary now. And by the way, the guys who said, you know what, it's not that big a deal. It's a bus route. I'm tired. I just couldn't make it up. Guess what? They were training for the ministry. They didn't make it. Very consistently, those who were faithful to their bus route, well, it's just a bus route, just picking up kids in Chicago. No, it's that which is least you were tested in, and God said, you're not very faithful. I'm not going to give you a whole church. You don't show up. And it wasn't the talented and it wasn't the smart. Listen, one of the guy who was the weirdest, craziest, most backward guy in the entire time I was in Bible college, this guy's a nut. I mean, a nut. And everybody at college knew he's a nut. And everybody on staff, all teachers knew he's a nut. And he was crazy. He was an amazing thing. He was in college 12 years. It took him to graduate with a 4-year degree. 12 years. I one time asked him, I said, hey man, I said, how much, because he loved his bus route and he brought people to church all the time. He just went knocking on doors and talked to so many people. He got people to church. I asked him one day, how many, in the 12 years you've been here, how many times have you missed your bus route on Sunday morning? He says, twice. He said, one time the guy didn't pick me up who was supposed to pick me up. The other time, I slept in. He said, by the time I slept in, I called somebody else and had him take me up there and I met the bus on the way in. He's a missionary now. I just saw that people who aren't faithful in little things, I don't need to set up chairs. I want to preach, Pastor. You're not going to preach. You need to learn to sweep the floor. If you can't be faithful in that which God gives you, if you're not willing to teach a kid in class, you're not willing to go and visit, or you're not willing to go and pray, and you're not willing to do the things that we call at least those things. But Pastor, if I preach, listen, if I can't preach to you with passion, why should God give me 10,000 people? Because I wasn't faithful in that which is least. And I tried to preach even when he had nobody at church, like I was preaching to 10,000 people, because it's important. And God says, I test you. And he tests us with small things first. Next, the Lord praises faithful people. Matthew 24. Let me go there. And these are familiar passages. The Lord praises faithful people. God likes faithfulness. Matthew 24 And verse 45, and there's other passages in here, but who is that faithful and wise servant to whom his Lord made him ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? And he says, that he who's faithful, that faithful servant. And then he talks about the evil servant who, when his master was away, wasn't careful. And then in the next chapter, Matthew 25, when he praises people, Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God loves faithfulness, and he praises faithfulness. Count on it. I'm going to be there. It's going to be great. I know you're going to be there. I can count on you being there. Nothing else matters if you are not there. If the fastest runner in a relay, they say, you know what? I got to find the fastest runner for our relay, and we have this relay team. And I find this guy, he's faster than Bolt. And Michael Bolt, I think that's his name, from Jamaica. He said he's the fastest runner in the world, and he's going to join our relay team. And boy, we get around there, and we're all four going to take turns around there and running the lap around. And boy, I run around, and I hand off the baton to him, and he takes that thing, and he runs. But halfway through, boy, he's been telling how fast he is, and he's the fastest guy in the world. But you know what? He just drops the baton and says, "I'm just going to run around for fun." Doesn't matter if he's the fastest guy in the world, we lose the race. Because he was not faithful in that which was given to him. You could be as out of shape as most of us are and still beat him. Because you're faithful. Somebody once said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. And when you're faithful and just keep on going and keep on going, you get there before things that never keep on going. Faithful is people can have faith. You are full of faith. People can say, "I have faith in them. I know what they are going to do." We are not in the faithful generation in our marriages. We're not in the faithful generation in our churches. We don't know who's going to be there. Listen, and by the way, in faithfulness attending in church, understand, observing people raising children, I have watched, and one of the strangest things to me for many, many years, I didn't understand it, but for many years, one of the things I realized in great families, the one thing that kids all turned out for God, very consistently, I've interviewed them in this church, we've had them in this services and preaching the service, they all say the same thing. You ask them, what did your parents do that made you turn out? Or you ask the parents, what did you do that had your kids turn out? Weirdest thing, all of them always start with one thing. And I'm talking to people from different backgrounds, who have never met each other. And they'll say, you know what? Every time the doors rattled, that we were in church. I remember David Gibbs saying that. I remember Brother Callahan saying that. I remember family after family saying that. Because your kids will generally learn from you not by what you say is important, but by what you do is important. And if the Lord is first, then you will teach your kids that. And your kids will generally take a step back from your morality and say, "I'm not going to be quite as serious as they were." And if you're part-time, they'll be very, very part-time. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Last verse in Proverbs 28. Faithfulness to God. God can count on you. He knows you're going to be in church. He knows you're going to pray. He knows you're going to do his work. He knows you're going to be faithful in the little job of scrubbing the toilets or in the big job of going and preaching in front of 1,000 people. He knows you're just a faithful person. You're going to be faithful to your family, faithful to him, faithful to all the things of God. Proverbs 28, verse 20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Listen, Brian, come on up here. Get a kid, no, get a kids in your lap. Good. So, faithful man shall abound with blessing. So, Brian has seen all this. Come over here, Brian. Brian has seen all this. We have people, this week, we talk about somebody who wants to be in the ministry. Did we not? No. We talk about somebody who wants to be in the ministry, and why can't they be in the ministry?
Because they're not faithful at anything.
And he told them that. He said, they said, "I want to do this," and he said, "Well, you're not faithful." Because I taught him the biblical principle, commit thou to faithful men. Wait a minute. I didn't commit anything to him until he's faithful. When he started coming to church faithfully, by the way, he wasn't faithful at first at church. And we thought he wasn't going to make it, and his wife wasn't going to make it for God. But then what I did is I came along, and then he started being faithful, and I began to commit to him. Now, God has put him in the ministry. But he also now can take what I've handed to him, and I don't have to deal with everybody. He can take the things that I've handed to him and hand them to somebody else. You be seated. But you know what? There's been some people at the same time period that had a lot more talent that I could have committed to, but they weren't faithful. And God says, I call the faithful and I use the faithful people. And you may not ever preach and you might never ever stand behind the pulpit. But you know what? Whatever job God gives you is a big job. And teach your children that. Oh, it's no big deal. It's just vacuuming the room and they just didn't want to finish it. No, you teach them that's important. Everything's important. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it thy might. Teach them faithfulness. Teach them to keep their appointments. Teach them to do the things you're supposed to do. Teach them to be faithful people and learn faithfulness. Because you know what? If they learn unfaithfulness in little things, they're going to do it to their husband someday and be unfaithful, or their wife. Listen, these soldiers all over America are coming back and finding out their wife was unfaithful to them all the time. That didn't happen in World War II. We had a faithful society. But now, it's not a big deal. Everything's a big deal. If you get faithfulness in your character and people can count on you, they know you're going to do what you're supposed to do and you're going to be faithful to God. And you say, Pastor Ron, why is it a big deal? You always teach, read your Bible every single day. It's part of the character training that we give you of faithfulness. And it's the Word of God and it feeds you. Tonight, I want you to learn the callings of God are to faithful people. And Paul said, I am in the ministry today because I was faithful the day after I got saved. And I was doing God's work. And then he said, okay, go. And if you want to do great things for God, do what God's given you well with all your passion and intensity. And even if it doesn't seem like a big deal, all your job is to pick up the parking lot on Sunday morning. Do it with your heart and be faithful. And let us not show up on Sunday and say, cigarette butts everywhere. And by the way, we have to do that every single week. There's cigarette butts and beer cans all over this parking lot every week. And somebody comes here, faithfully picks them up. And you do the job, whatever it is, and you be faithful. And you begin doing what you wish God would give you the ability to do all the time. And God says, you know what? I got to let you do this all the time because you are faithful at it. And God will commit big things to you because you're faithful in little things. The callings of God are to the faithful. One of the greatest things of advice, it cracked me up. Brother Hiles, one time, of course, pastored 50 years and pastored more people than anybody in history. And a young lady asked him, a single young lady, said, what would you do to find a husband if you were a young lady? He said to her, I would become such an incredible expert and prepare myself so much to be a good wife someday and mother that God would have to get me married because he would have to use how much I prepared. And because he knew I was going to raise incredible kids. He said, why don't you wait till you're married? Kind of late then. But God says, man, you are so incredible, and you're going to have such great kids, and you prepared yourself, and you'll be such an incredible wife. I've got to get you a husband to make that what you prepared for, what you've been faithfulness in. I'm going to make you faithful in much. That's the way you get great things from God. Prepare. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to preach about faithfulness, Lord. It's a subject dear to my heart, and a faithful man shall abound in blessing, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in that which is least. Lord, help us to be used by you because we're faithful in that which the opportunities you give us, Lord. And help us to realize that if we're not faithful in little things, we'll not be made faithful in the big things. Father, I think this is why some people seem to try and never influence people. Because that God tried him, you tried him in some things that were smaller and they weren't faithful, so you can't trust him with the influence of people. Lord, I pray to be people who are faithful to you, faithful to other Christians, faithful to your house, faithful to do the things we should. And I pray tonight you would use us in the ministry because of that. In Jesus' name.